Hi, my lovelies. Welcome to Love Always Lisa, my brand new podcast. It's all about bringing people from all walks of life, from all over the world together to share their stories, giving them a chance to show how love, kindness and authenticity will help you shine. I'm bringing to you, the listener, an abundance of love, laughter and real talk. So all that's left to say now really is that I hope you sit back and enjoy the show. Love Always Lisa. Hello, my lovelies, and welcome back to another episode of Love Always Lisa. I really am going to have to change my jingle because I've been doing this for over a year now and it still says brand new podcast, which it clearly isn't. First of all, as always, I just want to say thank you for the sponsors of the show. This month, my main sponsor is the lovely Helena Giles, who is a fantastic makeup artist, Your Beautiful Day at UK, and she's been supporting me right from day one. So thank you very much, Helena. And also to the Cornwall Channel for the studio. If I didn't have this epic studio, Love Always Lisa wouldn't exist. So thank you very much. Now, I'm a little bit giddy today. I'm a little bit excited because I think anyone that knows today, I've got somebody on here and I feel a little bit starstruck because you'll all know that I like watching Netflix and I do tend to watch the odd naughty thing on Netflix, let's be honest. But this was an educational naughtiness. And I tell you what got me to do what I did, which I still can't believe that she replied to me, was... If anybody's seen my TikTok and Instagram, you'll have seen that I recorded the clip on the screen for this program called The Principles of Pleasure on Netflix. And there's a lady on there whose name is Lola and she's down as Dirty Lola. And straight away I thought, I love it. I love the sound of this. But then I watched her talking and she had, let's just say she had lots of items on display that were of the... let's just say at the end of the day, they were sex toys. And I was like, I like this lady. And she was talking about them and then one fell off and she giggled and then she just went, oh, you're all going to be on TV. And as soon as she said that, I was like, I need to know this lady. So I just went on, Netflix. I went onto Instagram and said, obviously enjoyed watching you on there. And she liked it. And I went, oh my God, you liked it. And then we had a little chat. And I was like, would you come on my podcast? And I was like, so I was phoning my friends. I was going, you never guess what that lady's going to go on my podcast. Anyway, so it is 10 a.m. in New York, where I believe you are, Lola. And yeah. I cannot believe that I have got you on my podcast. I literally am buzzing. And I don't have a sex toy anywhere near me.
You know, I'm surprised I'm awake at 10 a.m. with eyebrows on and clothes. So,
yes, I can report she is fully clothed. She's wearing red as well, which is all about the love hearts for me. I'm just the red everywhere. So, Lola, so for this podcast, this is going to be one that's going to be shared with everybody. But afterwards, we're going to do a little secret something for me to share with the ladies in my group. So don't worry, ladies. You're not going to miss out. This, whatever we talk about now is going to be quite normal stuff, but there's going to be another part for you guys. So if you want to be in it, then you have to be in it. So 25th of May... at Boringdon Golf Club is my launch for It's All About You. And that's the start. This is just the start. So if you're intrigued and interested, do be sure to have a look on Eventbrite for It's All About You. Anyway, so tell me a little bit about who you are to begin with, Lola. Obviously, you're Lola.
Oh, my gosh. I feel like I've lived lives. So which life do we start with? Well, the basics, I am 40 years old and I am a recent divorcee. But I'm very happy living in Brooklyn, New York, and I'm a sex educator. And that umbrella encompasses so many things. So I work in a sex shop a few days a week. I am the creative director of an online magazine called the Spectrum Journal. That's a part of a online sex shop, Spectrum Boutique. I write articles, I teach classes, I host shows, I now do Netflix. So there's so many different things. But everything encompasses edutainment. So that's my big thing is I try to teach people through entertaining, which seems to be working.
It absolutely is. I think your personality just shone through. I mean, obviously all of the ladies that were on there chatting and all of the people that were on there were all lovely and amazing. But I guess we've all got our tribe of people that we're drawn to, and I was definitely drawn to you. As you say, from an education side, you know, people might just think, do you really need educating about sex toys? Surely not, and all this. But actually, watching that program made me realise that there's a lot of women out there that don't know a lot of stuff. And I was blown away. I was absolutely blown away. Yeah. I sat there with my notepad and I was making notes and I was thinking, wow. And then I contacted my friend Joe and I'm like, Joe, did you know about the clitoris? Did you know how big it was? We had this whole conversation and she hadn't even watched the show. So at the weekend, we was at her house and she went, shall we put this program on that you've been going on about then? Let's have a little look. And I was going, oh, look, there's Lola. This is Lola. And I'm guaranteed when she listens to this, she's going to be laughing her head off, because as soon as she watched it, she was like, oh, this is epic. So you're all about the education and helping people. So what started all this for you then? Has this always been something that you've worked around, or was it just you've always done the education side of life and then all of a sudden you fell into the sex side of things?
Honestly, I've been doing this for about a decade, but I mean, my school teachers would probably tell you that I was always trying to be helpful. And I was definitely a kid who was super curious about sex things and like had found my grandpa's porn and was reading and like taking notes of like, oh my God, this is fascinating. And nobody will talk. Why is nobody telling us this stuff? Like as a wee kid and going to school and doing surveys and like, hey, so what do you call that down there? Like my mom calls it this. But I read in this thing, they call it this. So, and just, I wanted to know, because nobody talks to kids about sex. And so nobody, there's so many unanswered questions. And then even once we had like our sex ed was really like, this is your period. You're about to be demolished. What's going to happen to you? Here's why you get your period. That's literally the sex ed we all get. It's like, well, at least as women, is like, this is your period. Here's all the stuff. This is why you get your period. This is how you make babies. These are how horrible STDs look. Don't ever have sex until you want to have babies. Like, that's all we get. And I knew. I was like, this is not it. This is not everything. And I also was like, well, I want to know what the boys learn. Like, I remember being like, tell me what you learned. Because they would split us up.
Well, this is the same thing in the UK. I mean, I'm a little bit older than you. I'm nearly 46, and me and Joe were talking about this at the weekend, that even the similarities with that, with regard to, even though we're on the other side of the world from each other, the whole sex education thing, and I don't think it's changed a great deal in the sense of, like, they split us up. The boys went in one room. The girls were in another. They gave the girls tampons to put in glasses of water and watch how it expanded. They then gave the boys bananas and got them to put condoms on. Then they gave us bananas and shown us how to do it. And we're like, put your own condom on. Why have we got to do that? I'm not touching it. And all that kind of thing. Without any explanation. And like you say, it was all like, you started your period, you stay away from boys, that's it now. Don't tell you why. It's like, oh my God, what's wrong? Am I contagious?
So I've always been, you know, before this, I worked so many jobs that had nothing to do with this. Yeah. Like, I'm secretary, I worked at a doggy daycare, I've done customer service, all the things. Really, what got it started was a Twitter account. I mean, that's really how I started. I was a bored, monogamous housewife.
Yeah.
And no shame to monogamous housewives if you're happy, but I wasn't happy. Yeah. And I just started talking about, like, my past exploits and like, the wonderful things I used to do and some of the adventures that were starting because we were beginning to explore kink and non-monogamy.
Yeah.
But that was where I started, and I realized, like, you know a lot of things because I've spent my life, like, reading everything I can get my hands on about the subject. And Around that time, I was also hosting burlesque shows in New York. So I was doing that bit. And one of my friends who is a performer, who was like doing the shows I was hosting, and she's like, you know, one night after we were just talking and she asked a question, and I was like, oh, let me tell you about this stuff, or have you ever bought this product, or like, oh, you want to go shopping and this whole thing. She's like, you need to be doing this for other people. She's like, you know more about this shit than a lot of people I know. And I'm like, really? She's like, yeah. I'm like, nobody wants to come sit and watch me like talk about that. She's like, yeah, they would. So I started, a few years later, I started doing this show called Sex at a Go-Go, that before the pandemic I was doing pretty regularly, and it's a sex ed Q&A and review and go-go review. So we answer the audience's questions. They get to write them down so they're anonymous, but they can ask us anything about sex, love, relationships. And then in between there's like go-go dancing, or we have drag kings. We have like a myriad of things. But the main thing is like people get a space to ask things that they either are too shy to ask their friends, don't know how to ask their doctors, aren't sure how to talk to their partners about it. And we've gotten some stuff. We've gotten the myriad. You know, you get the things where it's like, how do I talk to my partner about wanting to do anal, or how do I talk to my partner? You know,
yes.
But sometimes we get really deep, like, questions about like being a survivor and getting back into sex, or you know, how to deal with going through this deep heartbreak thing that, you know, it's like you were just waiting for the moment to find somebody to talk to about it. And I'm like, this is why I do this, because as adults we don't all have friends like you and friends like me who will talk to us and like be that person, right? Who can be like, oh, here's some resources, or here's a thing, or you can tell me, I'm not going to judge you. The people in our lives are very lucky, and then there are others like us, and those people are very lucky, but there's a lot of folks who don't have folks like us. So I've learned over the years that people are just hungry and they want information, and they, I think, it's fun because they weren't expecting it. You know, they expect to come to the bathroom of a bar and they're thinking it's going to be a show that's dirty or like about sex, but not that you're going to sit here and learn about the clitoris or the best butt toys or the proper way to fist, or, you know, get relationship advice from somebody in cases in a thong. Like, you don't expect that bit of it. And I think
it sounds awesome. Awesome. And you're quite right. We even, like, for me, friends will say to me, oh, you're so open and talk about stuff. And I'm like, well, I'm actually not that open, because I don't really discuss a great deal of personal stuff. But what I will do is that I'm not ashamed or frightened to talk about anything at all. And if someone asks me a question, you know, I don't walk around just like advertise it, but I'm known a bit for innuendo and having a laugh and a joke. And I think that kind of just goes hand in hand with me being who I am and how I am, sort of thing. And as I say, one of my friends, for example, she said to me, well, she's known as the prude. And I said to her, but are you a prude, really? Are you prudish? I said, really? I said, go back along. Were you like that? And she said, well, no, I wasn't. So something's happened somewhere to make you feel like you can't be sexy, or, you know, do something that's a little bit more outrageous or whatever in the bedroom, for example. Right. And I said to her, and I said, and that's kind of why, for me, doing this women's group, because it's not just about that element of stuff. It's about friendship and doing stuff as older women, over 40, kids are left home, da-da-da, that sort of thing. But the whole point of pleasure is that pleasure isn't just a male-only thing. Pleasure isn't a gender-specific. We all have pleasure, and our pleasure can be found in very different ways. And it's not always sexual pleasure, although sexual pleasure is, like, when you think of pleasure, that's what you ultimately think of. And and as I said to her, I says, my group isn't going to be, you know, if you are somebody that isn't really that fussed on the whole sexual side of things, it doesn't mean you can't be involved, because it's not just for that. But you might join, and actually, when you're around other people, you might start to realise you're not actually where you think you are on the scale of sexiness, because you have started to think that way because you're not having a good time yourself, or And this is where you come in, because you are a sex expert, and I love it. I absolutely love it. And I'm thrilled that you're on here. And do you know, I wish I was in New York, because it would be epic to come and see and listen to that sort of stuff. It just sounds so cool. You don't get that round here in Cornwall, where I live. It's not the done thing.
Well, my hope is to bring it back this summer for a few shows, because I finally found like a venue I feel okay with, because it's an outdoor venue. And then I'm like hoping I can put it on Zoom, and I'm figuring out the logistics of doing it, because I want to bring it back. And since I've been doing all of this and haven't been doing the show, I feel like I've talked to people all over the world who I'm like, oh, if I had a way people could access it, it would be amazing. So,
well, I think that's the thing. And also now, with you being on Netflix, how did that come about anyway? What was that all?
Oh my goodness. It's such a, such a weird thing. But I mean, one of the things I base my whole everything on is I want to get to know people, and I don't want to ever feel like I'm just getting to know you because I am going to use you down the line, right?
Absolutely.
I want to truly know who you are, and I want you to know me. I want you to know me, remember me. But like, really, when you say my name, you're saying it because you like know about me and who I am.
Yeah.
And I think I've done a really wonderful job of that, just getting to know people, being myself, being really genuine when I meet folks. So people tend to like, when stuff comes across them their way, people tend to say my name. So that was the first thing the producers, like, they emailed me, and they're like, multiple people have said, have you talked to Lola? And so we're talking to you. And that was right around lockdown. Like, that was, it was maybe like a week into lockdown that I got the email, and we did a Zoom meeting, and it was, I talked to like three producers and a director, and it was just kind of like a tryout, more like seeing how we vibe, just talking and then recording it.
Yeah.
Telling me what it is. And like, they were telling me, but you know, it was like, we could tell you kind of, but we can't tell you everything. I'm like, I get it. So we did that. And then I think a couple weeks passed, and they had switched with producers. So they wanted another one. And then that one, they were like, okay, we don't know when we're going to be able to shoot. We want you to be a part of it. And that began the road of this whole thing. So that was like early 2020. We started trying to schedule things. When did we shoot this? It was cold. It was probably like late fall. So it was October, November of 2020. So it was things where they were allowing certain things, but people were still largely at home.
Of course.
Scared, you know, and then went back and forth. Like, it kept changing. Things kept getting shut down or picked up. It was a lot. Because, you know, if anybody got COVID, they'd have to shut production. So it was a long road, and it was very weird. Like, to be on a set, I was the only one that day. Like, we couldn't all converge and shoot or be on set at the same time. So it was like me that whole day. Everybody had to be masked. We had like a COVID compliance officer. And I, of course, couldn't be masked. So it was like, you're like, are you going to be okay? And I'm like, well, we don't have a choice. Like, we're filming this. Like, I'm fine because everybody's masked, and there's literally a person going, hey, pull your mask off. And like, when we all had lunch, like, they all had to have lunch like in an outdoor space, but they let me stay on set so I wouldn't have to like get all redressed into like an actual like coat and stuff.
Freezing, of course.
Which was wonderful. So they did a lot, but it was a very weird shooting, because I've done stuff like before. It was very odd, but you never know what this is going to be, right? Like, all those little quips and things, I didn't realize those were going to be in the show. Like, it wasn't part, that was just me. I'm silly. I'm a little bit clumsy. I'm, you know, and so even that beginning shot,
that's what drew me to you though. And that's the thing. And that's what makes it even better, because you said something a second ago when you were explaining about how you really do like to get to know people. And I do a lot of networking in the UK for work. And I always say to people, I want to know who you are. I don't really care what your business is. I want to know who you are as a person, because I think that the people are the most important part, and everything else around that is secondary to it. And obviously you are interested in what people do because you want to help them and evolve. But that in itself, and then seeing you do that, and then you say, actually, they were just you. They're the best bits, you being you, because that's exactly what drew me to you, literally, you know?
Yeah. I was very excited, and all of my friends, everybody who, like, knows me, they said, like, oh my, they got you. Like, that's you. Like, yes. They put, it wasn't you, like, you were talking, there were points where you're talking, you're being brilliant, and you're smart. And I'm like, thank you, I love you. But, and they're like, no, but they got you. They left in the parts that, like, we know, like, the cute, sweet, you know, adorable you. And I'm like, I know. And it was such a, even that beginning where that first shot, which I screamed when I saw it. I was like, it's me. I was like, oh my God. That was me being nervous as fuck. Yes. Just so nervous. And, like, I'm like, this is for Netflix. Okay. All right. And that's literally me, like, adjusting myself and going, like, we can do it. And that they kept that in. But it sort of set the tone for that. We're doing something nobody's really done in that way. Like, people have done sex shows. There's other sex ed and sex ed adjacent programming on Netflix. But I just really feel like they did such a beautiful job of just in a way where it's not, like, shove down your throat, but, like, just the use of the different bodies and skin tones and even ability, you know, levels and things. And when they're talking about stuff and the visuals and how they're speaking about things and the frankness of it. Yeah. But also at the same time, like, frank, but still, I think, digestible, which was a big thing when we were shooting was we talked about, like, how I wanted to talk about things. And they kept going, we want to make sure if this is somebody that's in middle America without a sex shop around them, or if there's someone overseas in a place where sex toys aren't allowed, but somehow they get to watch this. Like, you want them to be able to understand it. And I'm like, I got you, because I do this every day. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Every day at work, people come in. And it's so, I was just telling a friend, like, some stories from the shop, but just, like, most days are just people coming in and, like, you know, oh, can you tell me about this product? And, like, being able to talk to people about the differences, but also not, I don't sell things. I, like, find things for you.
Yes.
I'm not a salesperson. If you don't need it, I'm not going to be able to sell it to you. But if I'm like, let's find the thing that's going to
fit
you and make you happy, or at least to explore, right? Like, you might not love it, but add it to your collection. You don't have to have just one.
But this is the thing. So, like, for me, when I got my first toy was, gosh, I was about 27. So I was actually just got married, and it was on honeymoon. And there was a funny story about it, because it started buzzing in the backpack as we were crossing the road. We were in London, and it was hilarious. But, you know, when we went, I actually sent my husband into the shop to go and collect it, because I was literally like, I'm going in the shop and getting one of them. And they, so when he went to get it, they said to him, would you like some lube, sir? And he went, it's not for me, I don't need it. I'm going to be in so much trouble for saying this on here. My kids are going to be like, Mom. But the bottom line was, back then, I was not comfortable with, A, letting anybody see or know that I had anything like that or would even think about it.
Right.
Or B, the fact of actually, even the process of going in there, I wouldn't have asked anyone. I literally saw online someone was going on about rabbits, and I thought, whoa, little fluffy bunnies. No, not those sort of rabbits. And then as I got older, I started to realise, actually, do you know what? There's probably a lot of people out there that do these things. And the biggest thing for me was probably 12, 13 years ago now, when my gran passed away. So, well, actually, it was before she passed away. She was moving house and we were helping with the clearance. And we we went and emptied one of her cupboards out, and there was this box, a 1950s, I think it was a metal object that had a plug on it, and it was called something like a the dock massager or something, a massager for women. And I only spoke about this with my mum a few weeks ago when I went to visit, and I was joking, and my mum says, oh, I saw that years ago. She says, I always remember walking in on your gran and she was using it on her knee. Well, that's what she said anyway. She goes, oh, my knee's hurting. There's massaging my knee. And I looked at my mum and I went, she was never massaging her knee. What is she talking about? But when I saw that, I thought, you know what? Everybody does these things. And then I thought, so it doesn't really matter. But actually, then once I started talking to friends and going, you want to buy this, what I've just bought, it's epic. And they were going, I don't even own one of them. And I was like, what? What do you mean? So actually, there still is a lot of people that don't explore anything like that because they feel like it's dirty or they, you know, it's going to, oh, I shouldn't do that. And what if my kids find out and all the rest of it? I mean, I'm not being funny. I mean, my kids obviously are grown up adults now and they do listen to the podcast. So they'll probably roll their eyes right now, Michael, Kaylee and Bethany. And but the point is, when they were little kids, they weren't going to be privy to any of this. So I worried about stuff that wasn't necessarily needed to be worried about. And I say, I've just realised that there are so many women out there that probably in their head are thinking, oh, well, I wish I was like them and had that confidence to do X, Y, Z. And I just thought, you know what? I might not be a sex expert like you, but actually I can draw on resources of other people and work together to help these ladies. And so, yeah, it's just been interesting. And to watch you on Netflix, as I say, the whole show I thought was brilliant. It was very informative. I was shocked to find out that it was only, 2005 when they actually mapped out what the clitoris looked like? 2005?
Yeah. Where they put it back in the books because it was taken out.
It's
like
mad, isn't it?
Forever it's ago. Crazy. Yeah, it's such a thing.
And I think all of that sort of stuff is, you know, we talk about lots of things out there, but when it comes to stuff like that, we seem to go a bit weird on it all. So my job now is just to bring a bit of fun and laughter and ooh la la and get the girls feeling comfortable talking about the stuff that maybe they wouldn't. And so anyway, so we're going to go and come back in a second and we're going to do another little session. So everybody that's listened today, if you have not been on Netflix and had a look yet, watch The Principles of Pleasure and look for Dirty Lola and search for her online. She's just brilliant. She's lovely. And, you know, straight away, I knew that this lady was going to be my kind of lady. And she's just said herself so many things that just resonate. And I'm just so grateful to meet you. And hopefully one day in the future, I'll be able to meet you for real and come and give you a big hug.
I would love that.
It'd be epic. So thank you to all the listeners. This one has been a little bit different, but, you know, different is good at the end of the day. And you never know, you might have lit a little fire in you and made you feel like you want to go and find out a little bit more. So I hope you're all safe and well, and I will see you again very soon. Hi, my lovelies. I'm Lisa Bailey Brown, a.k.a. LBB. I'm a wife, a mum and a gran. And my passion is people. I love them. By being kind, loving, honest, and genuine, it's allowed me to help whoever I can, however I can. I'm bringing to you, the listener, an abundance of love, laughter, and real talk. I've always felt that I had a purpose, but it's taken me till almost 45 to realise it. I am enough, and I am capable. So now I want other amazing humans of all walks of life to come forward to share their stories, because it's not about me anymore. It's about giving others, just like I used to be, the chance to open up and share and feel enough. There is only love from here on in, so if you don't want to hear about how the simple things in life and being yourself can help you to grow and have a more fulfilling life, that's fine. But for those of you that are intrigued, I look forward to bringing amazing guests from all over the world to share their stories with you. Thank you for listening. Love always, Lisa.